I'm John Batchelor with my colleague, Professor Richard Epstein, a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. Apple builds an iPhone that is vastly superior, and you get used to it as a senior person, and you are very thankful for it and wish we'd had this in the 20th century. However, there are statements now from the Antitrust Division of the Department of Justice that do not easily summarize, but the way I read them is Apple has been unfair to Google and other builders of iPhones because it's built a phone that dominates the market. Is there more to it than that, Richard? Thank you.
Yes, there is more to it than that. This is a case called Amazon 2. The major function of the American Antitrust Division is to take successful companies and to try to destroy them in the name of parity. And so the first thing one wants to know is that in antitrust law, a very strong distinction on how it is that you get your position. If this was something which was achieved by illegal mergers of two companies parallel, you could stop it under the antitrust law. But this is a case of internal growth, very artfully planned by a company, which on these particular issues has known what it has done. So what they're saying is you now have a product which is so much superior to everybody else that you could charge a premium for it. That's not an evidence of market failure. That's an evidence of the fact that consumers are smart enough that they're willing to pay more money to get a better product than to pay less for the other thing. Then, of course, what they say is, well, share the technology. This is more easily said than done. If you want to share the technology, you can do it by a whole set of voluntary arrangements, as they do with respect to the thousands upon thousands of developers with whom they have cooperative arrangements. But why it is that it's in their interest to share it with their direct competitors is a complete mystery. So they're not going to do it voluntarily because they lose from that. So what the Justice Department is going to try to do is to coerce them to give the information away and then claim that that information is not a form of protected intellectual property so that no compensation is going to be over to shift it out. So this is part of the other Biden campaign, which is not only do they not like strong companies, they don't like intellectual property rights, patents or any other thing. And they have proposal after proposal to put forward to require their voluntary sharing by these companies. We're going to get nothing in return. Well, the long-term innovation that's going to take place by a company that has to basically share its profits and its insight with rivals without compensation is devastating on the way in which these markets work. But the Biden administration is so utterly ignorant on everything that's going on is that they think that you could run a world in which you get their desired form of distribution of wealth at the same time that you don't have any negative influence with respect to production. So this is just like the Amazon case that they brought, which is completely mistaken. And so forth. They define markets artificially narrowly. They assume that if you're a dominant player in the market, you've always done it by illegal sorts of means. They find pro-competitive practices to be anti-competitive, and so want to shut them down. So in the case of Amazon, say, you have too good a delivery system. We want you to open that up and let some inferior carrier make sure that the property doesn't get you the same day. It gets you 2 days later, it may be lost in the injury. This is an antitrust department which has had a frontal lobotomy associated with its operation. Lena Khan is one of the most ignorant people ever to sit in that position, and she's backed up by the same kinds of behaviors that are taking place inside the Justice Department with Mr. Canton. It is all a farce in the worst possible sense of the word. And what they're trying to do, and I do not think it works, is to say that the curse of bigness shall be upon these players. But the clear rule is if you become big, rich by energy, innovation, technology, and so forth, we want you to keep your profits. And if those profits are high, and if the market is attractive, that high price umbrella gives somebody else an incentive to start to come into the market. Now, how will they come in? Two ways, John. One is you could sell to Apple, and that's just fine. Or the other thing is you could try to start a rival network of some sort, and that may or may not succeed. But what happens is these are kind of situations in which unless you find horizontal or collusive arrangements, the best thing the antitrust division could do would be to take a very long snooze, because this is a classic case of government intervention at great administrative cost, making the system less efficient than it ought to be. So what you're seeing here is that the Apple case, in some sense, and the U.S. Steel case are sort of the same thing. We get a meddlesome government that does not understand the operation of competitive forces, and in its total ignorance on virtually all of these issues, announces that it's going to shape the world in its own
interest. Richard, is it significant that the victim is as rich as Apple and as dominant in its sphere, which is search and advertising? Is that a significant factor in an antitrust? We have less than a minute.
Yeah, I think the answer is when you have these large rivals between two parties, each of them is going to try to find a way to basically handcuff the rival so they can't perform effectively. And this has been going on for some time now in all these cases. Microsoft sometimes gets in. You never know who's the victim, and you never know who's the guy who's playing it right. But I can assure you, just because Apple's right in this case doesn't mean it's right in everything else it does. And as an academic or as an independent observer, what you always have to remember is you take each case on its merits, and you don't have preconceptions that allow you to make judgments before you get facts.
Professor Richard Epstein, a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.